Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey friends, it's Monday night, and we sure look forward to seeing all of you on Monday, so thank you for tuning in. We count you as family, and like we tell you every week, because we mean it, we never take for granted how faithful you are at tuning in and the things that we hear about what God's doing in your life. So Raising Expectations is all about raising expectations. So thanks for sharing those with us so that we can get a better grasp of what God's doing. You know, most of us, and I want to say thank you too for the birthday cards. That was really surprising. Actually, I forgot my birthday. I got my kids in other states and there's so much stuff going on that I forgot about. So thank you very much for those kind and gracious words. Appreciated it very much. I told you once that I'm 77 going on 50. So as long as I keep that going, I figure we're in pretty good shape. So again, thanks for tuning in. You're a blessing in my life. And all of us on this show, we hopefully are a blessing to each other. You know our team, you know basically our staff, and I like to go through it each week because never a week goes by that somebody doesn't say, thanks for going through the names. It means a lot to us. And you know that we're all blood-bought, born-again believers. And what does that mean? Well, you know, we believe that God is who he says he is. We believe the Bible that Jesus Christ, God's son, died on the cross, shed his blood, rich red royal blood. When it hit the ground at the foot of the cross, when we put our faith in him and what he's done, our sins are washed away. Not even washed. They're as far as the east is from the west. And as my dad used to say when he was an engineer with NASA, that's infinitum. I love that. So with so much going on in the world today, as you see every single day, wow, we could sit back in the corner pretty soon, turn off the lights and hide, because it could be a kind of a frightening place, not knowing answers unless you know the answer. And that's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, thanks. Read your Bible, folks. Find Christ as your Savior. Let him walk with you and talk with you every day. And as we get ready to go to the West Coast, remember, the whole world's looking for answers. What happens when you do die? The greatest thing is we have the answer, so we can say what happens to us while we're living, because he's in charge of that too. So hope, find Christ, get in your Bible and see what it says about him. You'll be surprised what it'll say back to you. On the West Coast, in the great thriving metropolis of Lompoc, California, you'll find Dr. Paul Hall, who is our West Coast connection there. And Dr. Hall is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher. He's a professor. Paul's done just about everything. And most important, he is a special blessing to all of us who know him. He's been my friend for, as they say in the Indian movies, many moons, long, long time we've been doing things together. So, and Paul, this week, right, there's firing one up for you?
Day before yesterday and one scheduled in the next day or two. So Wow. They're going up regularly.
Yeah, yep. You got to get a catch of that so TJ can play the background, record it with your phone. That'd be neat to hear. Yeah. Well, all right. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Thanks.
And we'll move together all the way back to the South, the Deep South, which is actually the East Coast part of the South. And if you get to Dalton, Georgia, you meet Dr. Tank and Stephanie Thayer. And they're two of our favorite people in the world. She's amazing, and so is he. We're just so blessed. She is a health and wellness coach. She knows all that stuff, what to eat, when to eat, and what to do with it when you're working out. And beyond that, she has become someone who's been a great counselor to women across the nation, and so many of them tune in and ask her the questions, and she's earned the right, her walk with the Lord, sharing each week on the show. These ladies really love her. So she has a great site, and if you go on our website, bbsradio.com/ Raising Expectations. That's bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You get a sneak preview of our guest tonight who'll be with us. She's on there. And also you slide down and you'll find the web pages of all the guys and gals that are on the team. And you can find, she's got a great site there. And if you find her site, it's called Live Your Life Out Loud. And you could just click on it there, and there she is. And you can get a story of what she does and the different things that she posts and how she helps people. And you get a great idea of what God's doing in Steph's life. And it's really something to see about that. So do tune in. A lot of you each week, share back with me about how she blessed. She had a great post up today on what this date means on the Jewish calendar and what it means on the Christian calendar and how exciting that makes me all the more for believing God is who he says he is, right, Steph? Yeah. Great, great times. And he didn't die. He left us himself in the form of the Holy Spirit. It's unbelievable to have the Lord living in your life, friends. And you, most of you know that. You share it with me all the time. So Stephanie there has a great task in this life, and that's taking care of probably one of the greatest husbands in the world. And that's Dr. Tang, as we call him that. And that's Dr. Thayer. And he is in a very special meeting tonight in the ministry he does. So, and he'll be back, hopefully, any minute or two, and maybe just a little bit late. But, whoa.
He's actually showing up right now.
Folks, we just want to show you the power of prayer. Bingo, right on the spot. There he just comes right on the
really
spot.
Really good break and gas pedal.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. It's like I tell everybody, I'm living the rest of my life on the two capital P's. And some guy asked me this week, he texted me back and says, Pastor Joe, what are you talking about? I said, two P's, very important. Number one, prayer. And number two, Prevagen. And you put those together, and you're really good when you get up in your late 70s. It works really, really well. He wrote it down. I sure hope he doesn't quote me on it, so I'm just saying it's nice everybody will know anyway. So anyway, Tank, I'll ask you about that later. I know you had a good meeting, and you always have a smile on your face. And, you know, Tank is a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He also is one of the best dads you'll find in the world, how he's blessed his kids. And together, this is a great dynamic duo as parents also. And I understand that there's one son just graduated who became, what was that? Why don't you tell us?
Oh, I did a post about perseverance. Just, it's easy to look at social media or even this radio show or whatever, and you get the best versions of people. And the reality is life is hard, right? So I just shared about our son who just graduated. He actually was valedictorian, which we were really surprised by. He has a lot of learning disabilities. He has had a long, hard walk. He works so much harder than our other kids have for his academics. And so just to honor that and also to encourage parents or individuals, you know, lean into the Lord. There are people that will speak into your life. You need to listen to them and pray and ask the Lord if he can confirm that, and just lean in, because you may have been given challenges, but you're also given gifts, and they may not fit with what society says, but there's significant purpose for you. So it's just neat to see your child, you know, blooming, figuring out how to make it work.
Amen. That's what it's all about. That was a great post. I enjoyed reading. I got blessed, and I can't even go back to school, but I thought it was great seeing that. Yeah, work hard. You probably could. You know, I may have news for you on that later. We'll see. But Tank, you doing all right? Had a good meeting?
It was a great meeting. Actually, that's exactly what the second talk was about, obstacles. And that basically Jesus has lifted the biggest obstacle that we can face, which is our sin, right? And just done, right? So, but yeah, he's speaking. He's a pastor. But he had some speech impediment, probably dyslexia. And God just put him to work and said, nah, I'm not going to let you use it as an excuse.
There you go.
He's not afraid to speak in front of anybody.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. He's doing the speaking through you, wherever you are. That's awesome. Boy, that's fantastic, huh, Paul? That's great. And I tell you what, tonight we won't have Ron with us. He and his wife are on a special trip together, which is a really good thing to do. So they won't be with us tonight. There's, I throw that word in there for you. Tank's listening there, Steph. That's free of charge. But anyway, a trip like that. There you go. So, yeah, that's a good one. So, anyway, we are excited that you're with us tonight. We're excited about what God's doing in your lives and in this show. And tonight we have with us, we have Terry Werner back with us. She has been sharing her book and turn your derailments into destiny. And you know that the destiny becomes a triumph. There's so many great things she's been sharing. A lot of good comments back. Train wreck to triumph. What a great title. And that's what God does in your life. And all you got to do is just tune in and see what he's saying. And tonight, she's going to give us some great insight into how you put those pieces together. And I'm going to let her share that with you because it's going to be a great time tonight as she begins to share this with us. Some of her points there that are out of her book. So make sure you get her book and the site is all up there and you'll be able to find that. But Terry, it's great to have you with us. And tonight, we've got almost a full blast on the clap around the world. You know, the shot heard around the world was Lexington. The clap heard around the world comes from us. So, my phone is there. Terry, can you hear me? Good to have you back with us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome,
Thank
officially.
you. Trust me, this is about, you know, my dad was is still, I think, a golfer. He's avid golfer. He was a pastor, so that's kind of necessary. Know the word, know the golf course. And
Horrible.
par for the course. It's been, in fact, it goes right into, it's great to be here. Thank you. It's an honor. It goes right into what I want to share, a little testimony of what I think it may help someone here, listening, watching. And it was how I was going to begin anyway, so we'll just kind of go into it. It's not in my book, but it is a theory, a principle, a law of biblical principle. And so this, just telling a very short testimony, I won't get into it. It's too gruesome. But anyway, yeah, sometimes we want to give a testimony and they give, you know, sometimes you're like, I so wish we didn't hear most of it, you know, the good part. So in one day on Friday, I had two incredibly negative, I mean, financially negative, I mean, you know, if you had one of these a year, you'd be like, that was probably not a great day. It was all at the same time on the same day. And it was gut-wrenching, you know, it was gut-wrenching. I mean, from both sides. And the first day I was numb, just numb, and just, wow, this is what I thought one of them would happen in January, but it was a faster move. And it was really like the rug pulled out from under me, kind of thing. Well, my mind and my spirit went back to the thing. This has happened several times, full disclosure, over the last probably 30 years. Every now and then, this would happen. And so this time, I was smarter. I've written the book. You know, you have to be, get a little smarter to do that. You know, hopefully, teacher, teach thyself. And I just started praying. And it was interesting. That day was tough. You know, we just started praying, but I started feeling peace. The next day, I'm sitting in my recliner, one of my favorite things. You know, it's one of those that just does everything for you. It's wonderful. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, and I want to know if any of you have experienced this, all of a sudden, there was this, I don't know how to explain it, something from literally the innermost of my body. And my voice was just this sense of urgent message came forward. I know it was a Holy Spirit, but it said, my voice saying, this situation, the name of it, you will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And I would say it again, X, let's just call it X. You will bow to the way, the will, and the name of Jesus Christ. You are a word, and you will, your name, and you will bow to the name of Jesus Christ. And it wasn't just words, it was something in my spirit. The was warring with the spiritual attack and the attack. You know, we say spiritual attack, but when it shows up in the checkbook, it's real too, you know. And or in our health, or in our marriage, or in our relationships, or in whatever it is. And you know, I don't know if anyone needs to hear this today, you know, but there was something. We know the Holy Spirit is our comforter, he's our helper. And I really felt the spirit was just warring on my behalf because I'm not a loud prayer. When I pray, I'm not, you know, volumes and decibels. And all of a sudden, there was this volume that came out of my innermost being.
a cry for help, but it was the spirit, the spirit stepping into to position where I was not able. I was not able. Oh, now this is the thing I need to say, and this is that, all the stuff we hear and we read and we know, sometimes the practice thing is not necessarily the thing that will get us to that next place. And I just wanted to share this. And so my husband walked in the room because actually, as much as I talk, okay, people tell my husband all the time, how do you ever get a word in? My goodness, what must your life be like? And he says, she doesn't even talk at home. She doesn't want to answer the phone. We're like, we don't talk. She talks to her puppies. I mean, we talk with each other, but I'm not a talker unless there's a reason for it, unless there's a message for it. Then I'm like, you think I'm extroverted? I go to a party, I'm the last one in the room to talk. I'm like, I get paid to walk in a room to speak. I don't need to be here. Just so I don't just talk just to be talking. So my point is, the Spirit of God was speaking utterances and going into warfare, I believe, because it wasn't like anything else. It wasn't like all the other times, all the other stuff in the book, all the things we know about the brain health and the spirit and the heart and the everything together. The reality of Christ burst forward out of my being. And my husband and I held hands and sat there and spoke it out and spoke it out and spoke it out. And we still, that's what we say over this situation, because God is our source. And the will of Jesus Christ in our lives will be performed,
Amen.
will be brought forward. And we believe that is true, and we know that to be true. But I just wanted to share this because sometimes we can get into some of the information and not embrace transformation, and that comes from the Spirit of God. Information will never be transformational unless we activate, we embrace, and the Spirit of God breathes on it. That's what, this is about. And so I just wanted to share. I don't know if there's someone listening, watching, that this is, yes, I need to do that. Yes, I need this. Because we live in a life right now of peril, of difficulties. And I'm speaking to everyone. I'm not saying my situation and that'll change. Everything's temporary. It's a matter of, do we let it become part of us? In my book, I have this story about when you've got the ship, it shows the ship on the water. And it says, make sure that your boat is floating on the water, but the water is not inside the boat. Boats don't fail till the water's inside the boat, And I think sometimes it's easy to let it become part of us and not understand that worship is warfare. We can declare something, but when God's voice declares it over us, our voice is important, but He acts on His word in our life.
He knows
He
what's
acts on what we're willing to participate with, but sometimes it's just the voice of God speaking, the voice of God speaking. And so my prayer for everyone on this show and I'll is that you hear what God says about you,
Amen.
what God says in your situation, in your, we don't know. And those of us that are doers and thinkers, and that's great, God, I know you're busy. I just thought I would go ahead and do it and let you know how it went. That kind of personality, which is mine, I've really realized that wisdom is understanding His will and His way and His word. Even this one thing I'll share, and then I want to open it up for conversation. The other day, I was thinking, Lord, what do you have for my book? What do you have? Where are you sending it? Because it's really, I don't care really the sales of the book. It's really how many people get it inside them. I'm working a lot with veterans and people with PTSD and people with whatever challenge, women that have been abused, men that have been abused. and all that kind of thing. And people that just want personal spiritual growth. And you move. So I asked God, what do you have? Because I'm following his steps. I'm a born marketer. I can sell you things that you never wanted to buy and you don't even like. I can do it if I want to. That's a natural thing for me. So I'm very careful with that. But I just was like, Lord, what do you have for my next step? And I know this is out of context, but sometimes we don't have to pulverize, digitalize, evaluate, go into, well, we know when they were back in those days, they said this and meant this, whatever. Sometimes, I'm sorry, gang, sometimes you just need the word to be the word. You need a rhema word. I don't want to know what that meant about that word really meant this. That's great. I love that. I love looking at the Greek and the Hebrew and really seeing that. But this day, I needed a rhema word. So I just asked, what do you have? And he took me to the scripture. It was really funny. I'd never even seen the scripture. And I was in one area where it said, the water and the men will ride over your head, and I'll take you to a wealthy place in Psalms. And somehow the page just kind of flipped. My puppy was sitting there, and sometimes she thinks she's going to help in a lot of ways. And so the page just got turned, and all of a sudden, my eyes is not underlined, it's not yellow, it's not highlighted, it's not creased, nothing. And it's the scripture that says, and the company that published it became great. And great was the company that published it. Is it talking about my book? Probably not. Was God giving me encouragement in that moment? I'm going to take it. I don't care if it's verse by verse and if it's evaluated and debated. I needed a word. I took the word. That's what I did. And sometimes I think we need that for this moment. So anyway, I'm going to open it up to a little bit of conversation around what I've said so far and if that resonated with
Amen.
you.
I think Steph had a thought, right? Steph, you have a
Well, I had a few.
thought?
The financial situation, was that this Friday, like a few days ago?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna get all mind blown with the Bible for a second. So, what Pastor Joe first mentioned that I had posted today was about, it's Sivan 6 in the Jewish calendar, and it's the day that the Holy Spirit arrives. It's Pentecost in the Hebrew calendar, so the biblical calendar. 3 days before Friday is, I think it's called the Day of Boundaries. When Moses came down and he has the actual 10 Commandments, there was 3 days that they were told to prepare themselves to receive the word from the Lord. And so they had a boundary made and they went into worship. So that was Friday. The Lord is so active. He's speaking all the time. What is old in the Bible is relevant today. And it's one of the reasons I started studying the correlation of the Hebrew calendar with where we are today. So actually, like in my phone, it tells me Monday, June 2nd, 6 Sivan 5785. So I have both there so I can look them up. So when you started telling that story, I went, of course, God's just showing off, like not that he wanted you to have necessarily a bad financial situation, but that he can show you, I'm here, I love you, I see who you are. And the other thing that it made me think of when you said sometimes we just need to go into worship. There are some days that are just hard days. I had a day about a month ago. I woke up, I don't know, I was in a bad mood. No real reason, and then work kind of wasn't great. And then the family wasn't, just everything's, and I knew it. And I was trying to fight against it. I always have worship music in the house. And I had spent time in prayer and I had gotten in scripture. And I was like, I cannot get out of this funk. What is my problem, Halfway through the day, I go into the kitchen, I make something and a worship song's in there, and I start singing it. My whole disposition changed. I realized, why did I not just go and worship the Lord? And I don't know the science behind it, but I think there's so much more that happens to us, body and soul, when we go and worship Him. And like you were saying, I love studying the Greek and Hebrew. I mean, listen to me geek out about the calendar. But it's also really simple. He just wants you to spend time with him. It doesn't to be complicated. And so when you said that, I thought that's so true. So now if I'm having a moment, I just start singing a worship song, and it does help.
I'm a particular fan. This shows you that I'm kind of old-fashioned, particular fan of Terry McAmin. And I don't know if I'm saying his name right, McGowan. And I actually reference him for a resource of worship music in my book. And we keep his CD, his live CD on when we go to bed. And we have it so loud because there's certain times that are loud evidence, certain times that are not. And we sleep with that on. And it, literally, I can feel almost sometimes my spirit man almost coming alive before I'm awake. I can almost feel that. And I used to travel and speak a lot, and I would leave it on going on in my home 24/7 on a loop. And you walk in the home, and people come down our home, they're like, oh, there's so much peace. Well, there should be. We're surrounded by it. Before this situation came up Friday, what was interesting was the 2 days before that, when I would wake up with a worship song. I would be driving, and I used to do that more than I've done it lately. We go through these phases, but and I think God was preparing me. And now there's many more things wonderful that are going on. And I know we're victorious. I know we're victorious, and things will move in the direction. But I also feel a great sense of peace and freedom. And peace is shalom, all is completed, nothing is missing. And that's part of what I was going to talk about today was actually our environment creates can create peace. So I have this is something way ahead of what I was going to say, but the Lord kind of showed me a peace experience. I call the peace experience on how to create peace in trauma. How in the midst of angst, where there's, things are not settled, balance is off. To be really become balanced and stabilized. The word says knowledge and understanding will stabilize, will create stability in your life, the knowledge and the understanding. And I think, that scripture that says, if I had one thing for you, I would have understanding. Oh, that you would understand. And I think many times, much of what we go through life is a misunderstanding of what God is doing and a misunderstanding. We're not understanding ourselves. That's why I really get, you have your own thing. I really get into the DISC profile and understanding our behavior and understanding how communication makes such a difference and how people respond and engage. And really, the brain becomes activated by certain types of communication. I love all that. So that's my kind of geek thing, is like I go, oh, you're a D, you're a DS, you're whatever, whatever. And I go into it. But peace, there's a peace experience that we can literally shake off stress, shake off what is coming from the outside in, and let what is inside go out. So the peace of our heart and our spirit move out to affect the world versus letting the world come in and affect us. It's literally a breathing and kind of a walkthrough, visionary kind of walkthrough. And I used to do this in coaching, and when I would, they'd be in Africa or some other place, and we're not even seeing each other during the call. And I would say, after we walked through it, I'd say, what just happened? Because I felt their peace. I felt God do something in their peace. And what would take place when people let go of, the unforgiveness, forgiveness helps you get there sooner. That peace where they would literally feel the anointing. Like an oil coming over their head, flowing down, going around their heart, going down their arms, going down the innermost part of their body, their cells. Because as we think, we change our DNA. The way we think changes our DNA. The way we think and how we think changes the architecture of our brain. Our thoughts change the architecture. Now, I come from a background of, I'm not an architect, but interior design builder and all that kind of thing way back in my other, I don't know, 60 years ago or something, some type of long time ago. But, when we think about we're changing the architecture, what is the architecture? The architecture is the design, the structure of our brain because of neuroplasticity. We literally change the shape of our brain based on what we think. So let's talk about what we think. I've taught business for years and years as a life coach and business coach and et cetera. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I'm literally dangerous. I mean, you can't stop me from doing a deal. I'm like, oh, that waitress looks like she could really do a lot with her life. I think we need to talk. That's my thing. Well, many times when I would go into a business situation, or you're going to church with somebody, or you know somebody, and you notice there's two kinds of mindsets in this type of situation. There's a possibility and the probability mindset. Okay, the probability mindset is whatever has happened bad in the past will continue in the future. We're just on a line. The possibility mindset is I'm so excited I have this lesson because from that I'm going to springboard. I'm going to use it. I'm going to leverage this and it's going to empower my next step. I'm so excited to be in this room because I bring all the knowledge I have with me. Okay. So I ask God, these two, you get people that have a lot going on in their life and suddenly they hit the rails and they never recreate it. They never get back to it. They have that moment of fame, but they never get back to it. And that's not God's plan for us. Our God's plan is that everything takes us to the next thing, and that He's right there in the next thing, and He's right there in this thing. And so I asked God, why is there this marked difference? Because I coached a lot of people, did a lot of trainings and all this kind of thing, and I saw it so real. No matter the situation, He said this. Forgiveness. The difference between the probability mindset and possibility mindset is one has forgiven and released and embraced the lesson and trusted God that He knew more than they did. And the probability, all men are terrible. I had a bad one and they're all terrible and they're probably just all looking for me so they can be terrible to me. I literally have clients like that. I'd be like, oh my goodness. I like don't want to see you ever. Or, the other. It's because of forgiveness and release. And you see people get on this loop like a gerbil, and you want to say, cut that line. Instead of going in circles, just cut it, make it straight. And the same energy it takes to go in circles is the same energy it takes to get to the next place. It's not about the energy, it's not about the effort, it's not about the commitment. It is about the line you're walking. Are you walking on a bridge or are you just walking around in circles? And I think sometimes I like to talk about understanding and acknowledging patterns. We don't understand sometimes our own personal pattern. We go into the reticular activation system at the base of the brain where you see people walk into a church or a meeting. They're like sitting there and same pastor, same thing, same temperature, same lady with a strange hat, same kids screaming, same everything. Okay. You can tell I really love this kind of environment sometimes. And you walk in, one person walks in, drove there together. They look alike. They could be twins. One loves everything, one hates everything. Because they have told their brain, their RAS, the reticular activation system, they have said, no matter what happens, I'm not like this guy. I don't like him. I don't like anything about him. I don't like what I heard about him. And you know what? He looks like my cousin on the other side, and I didn't like him either.
Like
I don't
him.
like any of them, Or you can be like, wow, he was amazing. And the other person's sitting there, and I've been the other person sometimes going, what are you talking about? But the thing is, it comes to what we tell our brain. Our mind tells our brain what to do. Our brain does not tell our mind what to do. Our mind tells our brain what to do. And the brain doesn't know if you're lying or telling the truth. It doesn't know when you say, I believe the word of God, it's like, yeah, I believe the word of God. When you say, oh no, nothing's ever gonna happen great to me, they're like, yeah, you really suck, really, to be honest about it. I didn't want to tell you, but you're really bad news, okay? Because we program the brain, and we all know that we may love, I way back in the day when Cressida was a car. Way back, I had a great gray leather suit, and it was such a great color. And I was like, if I could find a car with this leather interior that would match my suit, that would be awesome. I know that seems backward for some people, but for me, it wasn't. And so I found the car that matched my suit. I found 100 cars that matched my suit. Everywhere I went, there was this charcoal gray car, hundreds of different cars. That's what, we get, okay, I want someone in my life that's this. We see a bunch of them, with women, we may say, hey, we found this great red dress. Oh, I like her red dress. I think I'd like that red dress. I think I'd like one like it. And pretty soon, There is nothing but red going on. Nobody's carrying anything but red because that's what we're seeing. It's changing the station and it's turning up the volume to see what we have said we want to see. So think of the majesty of God in creating that. Because, when we create vision in our brain, when we envision, set down and envision something, if you sit down 15 minutes a day and envision something, imagine something, your brain will have less capacity to have dementia. They've proven this scientifically. You'll have less a propensity towards dementia. We don't care about the gene myth. We don't care your mother had dementia, your brother had dementia. We don't care all that because you make that change. God has given us the power. He has that power to make that change. So when we set an envision, one thing is our brain becomes healthier. The other thing is, we will have less propensity for challenges in memory. And the other thing is, our brain creates new hardwire networks to facilitate, support, and accommodate the vision. To accommodate the vision. So forgiveness impacts our willingness and capacity to create vision. And our choice, are we going to be people of vision? So I'm kind of radical about vision. I'm a visionary coach, so I would be. I'm radical about everything. Just ask my friends. But anyway, Habakkuk spoke about Habakkuk or however you want to do your pronunciation. I'm from Kansas. We don't say anything in the Bible right. Okay. We just don't. It's a rule. So anyway, I'm the girl from Kansas is talked about, I will basically he said he was on the gate. We know the whole story is overviewing the area. We know that he was upset with God, actually, of the Israel people and etc. And there's a whole lot we could discuss, but I want to discuss the part about vision. Because if you ask a body of believers, if you ask a business owner, if you ask a teacher, pastor, speaker, whoever you want to ask anybody. You say, what does the Bible say about vision? What do you know about vision? And what do you think they say?
Oh, there's a passage about you need to write it down or you'll die.
Make it.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Write the vision and, so
It
it can
can,
be
yeah.
seen.
Yeah.
And without a vision, people perish.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So the challenge is that people that don't understand the power of vision, not anybody on this call, but there may be some people that don't. A lot of times, when I ask business owners or pastors or whomever it may be about vision, those are the two things they talk about. But sometimes there's a fear of really looking at vision. Because without vision, people perish. This is not just that people perish, it's that you perish. Your dreams perish. Your destiny, your understanding around it, these kinds of things. So I look at Habakkuk and I'm going, okay, we're talking about write the vision, make it plain. So 6 million people are out there writing a vision, making it plain that they didn't even get, that they didn't even really create, that they don't really know what it is. It's a goal, it's an outcome, but it may not be a vision. And I really believe in Habakkuk, we have the benchmark for vision. And basically, it's he was on a tall wall. And he said, I will ask of him and he will answer of me. And then I will write the vision, make it plain. But we have trained people not to ask questions. That's irreverent. That's disrespectful. That's untrusting. That's saying you're not trusting. When the actuality is you're asking. Many of the conversations between Jesus and his people were questions. He didn't say to Peter, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. He said, who do you say I am? Who do the teachers say I am? Who do you say I am? Jesus knew who he was. He didn't need to tell him who he was. He knew who he was. He wanted to know who they had experienced him to be, who they had chosen to frame, to believe. So, in writing a vision, Habakkuk set himself aside. There's a setting aside. They're setting in a place of perspective, looking at the past and the future. He was on a tall wall. He could see people coming and people going. He could see the past and the future, around him, a 360 vision. And then he asked the question. He got the answer, and then he wrote the vision. I would submit to you that it's very likely we're losing a lot of what vision is. Vision is the picture around the outcome that is being created. We say, and I may have said this the other night, I don't remember. Many times we say, well, they're not committed. They're not showing up. They're not doing this. They're not in your work, Stephanie, which I feel like I'm just saying a lot of things most of you already know because of your work. But sometimes when you lose hope, you've lost connection with the vision of what's next, of what's more. And I really think being hopeless is the worst possible thing you can be, other than being without Christ, being hopeless, being without hope. Is how do you have faith without hope, without some kind of belief? How do you do that? And I've been in that place, and candidly, it was miserable.
Yeah, thank
That's the
you.
last thing you lose before you commit suicide.
We've seen it in
Exactly.
third world countries too. There's a big difference between areas that have hope and don't, and they may actually have the same situation, right? But it's the way they operate is completely different.
Very much so. And you know what, too? I think changing the mind around something, because mental health, we get these ridges, automatically we steer here and steer there. And I am seeing the reality of when people embrace forgiveness, they have more of a likelihood if they choose to change their mind, to think differently, and to envision. And when they attach themselves, connect to a vision. So many times I was saying that we say, oh, well, they're not committed. They need to get committed to their health. I really think the magic pill, if there is something, is get them connected powerfully to their vision, so powerful that you feel it and they feel it. I mean, so powerful, it's going from their head to their feet, that place of connectivity. Then when they're connected, you never have to ask how committed they are because they're connected. They're obviously going to, their commitment is the outgrowth of connection, not the other way around. So we're saying, well, people aren't following me. We'll give them something to follow. Hard to
Amen.
follow, parked car.
Exactly. Up on the bumper.
It sounds like from your Friday that I was going to ask you a question, but you've already answered it.
Oh, what
I
was
was going
that?
to ask you if you had peace after that. So
I
that,
have peace and freedom.
so my feeling was there was a point at which your vision, your thought process, you surrendered it to God, Jesus, and that gave you peace. Look, what did Jesus, when he was in the boat asleep, and his apostles were freaking out because of the storm? What did he say?
He said, well, didn't he say,
Peace.
why are you, peace be still,
Peace.
why are you bothering me? Yeah,
Which is
peace
not
be.
to the storm. It's peace to his apostles still. So when we get still and we surrender and listen, then we'll have peace.
We just about hitting our time spot on this, Terry. This
Oh.
is really good.
Oh, I'm sorry, we've gone all this time.
Yeah, no, that's good.
We'd like.
It always brings me back to one thing. Paul and I remember, all of us remember, I used to get so tired. In fact, I get angry sometimes. All these books would come out, 10 steps to perfect peace with God. And the first thing a lazy brain would kick in his ass is memorize these steps and where's the peace? I don't get it. Books are no good. And then they don't read the Bible. There's one of the shortest verses you find, of course, in scripture, where it's really something we need to do so that we can do what you're saying, Terry. And that's
Yeah, I think
what
so.
God said to do. He said, be still and know that I am God. Well, Lord, what if you don't do this? Does that make you your ability to know me any less? No. Do you know people that you don't know everything they can do? Yeah. Do you love those people? Sure. God loves you and you don't know what he can do yet. And that part about having a purpose for every single one of our lives, what he wants to do. Yeah. And He's the one that gives you the joy. So there are some people that are doing huge things by the world centers. Some people who are living in the backwoods of Africa somewhere, touching and changing the lives of people, working with senior adults that can't even dress themselves. I've had people that work, they're amazing. And these ministries that they're doing, they have everything you've just said. They have this incredible joy. They can't rub two nickels together. But you know what? They've got a joy that the world needs so badly. But the whole thing, wherever it's going to be, whatever it is, it's be still and know that I'm
Be
God.
still. I was going to say that. Yes, exactly. That scripture was present to me right the day before some of the calamity. And I do a lot of business, so I've had various times of calamity, but you want to see a pattern stopped. And I think also the knowing, we say, know God, but that doesn't mean know about God. Be having a, an intimate experience knowing God. About 2 weeks ago, I'll just say this briefly. I was driving,
You got 2 minutes.
and
Go ahead.
okay, and the
Sorry.
Lord said, "I'm not against you. I'm for you. I'm your friend." Do we know that? Yes, we know that. But when it is spoken, it becomes a knowing. And I just want to say I'm thrilled my book is helping people
Amen.
embrace forgiveness, release, and the people with PTSD and with other traumas. It's not just vets. They're seeing a lot, and that is a great honor for me. So it's been wonderful to be with you guys. I love every minute of it. Thank you so much.
Well, we're just glad you're here. I'm glad it all worked out tonight, too. It was perfect. Way to go, Steph.
Thanks.
Worked that way. Hey, Steph, you want to do a 30-second spot for us? Or
Sure.
maybe 40, 50.
Okay, we'll do it real quick. If you go to our website, which is bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you
There
can
you
get all the information. There's so much information on there.
go.
Probably not everything you want to know, but a lot of what you want to know is there. And so I'm just going to highlight that we appreciate your generosity. It is necessary to do this programming. We're very fortunate to have all kinds of wonderful guests, but we pay for these amazing tech people that are much better than us. Like, we can just figure out how to get the speaker to work, but that's it. So, if you are willing, we would love to accept your donations. There's a couple of ways that you can do that up there, and you can even contact Pastor Joe via the old-fashioned way by just giving him a phone call. So, thank you for hanging out with us. We always appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. And it's always our prayer too that we've been hearing tonight and as Terry shared, that just encapsulates everything. The faith, being saved, what it means, God's working in the ordinary things, this Tank's book, and the faith bit. I guess faith is legitimate to me only when I can do a lot of what she's saying right there tonight without going into it. Just be still. I want you to take down three words. R Roger Breland, Roger Breland, Roger Breland, Truth, Truth, the singing group Truth, 30 years on the road. Every year, God brought them into my church and into my life and changed my life with the music that they did. And I had the ability, I think, in my case, to being still and just listening to God, like she said, because I was just sitting listening to this music. A lot of us are like this. I can't listen to music without watering up inside. And it's been that way all my life. Some people say, oh, you're getting older. No, I don't think so. It's the same thing. But find whatever it is that draws close to God. And remember, God will not be put into a nutshell by anybody. God is God, and God is all the things He says in His Word. And you can trust Him, you can love Him. Like she said, He will speak to your hearts. And if you expect me to tell you exactly how He's going to speak to you, you'll probably miss it. Just go into the Word, let Him speak to you through His Word. And whatever preacher, this, that, or the other, that's not the point. Like Terry said tonight, let God speak inside your heart. So, ladies and gentlemen, it's always a blessing to be able to be with you. And Paul, I missed you tonight. I'm sorry. This is a good night. How you doing
I'm
over
here.
there?
Paul,
How
I
you
feel like you got a good word. We have like,
I'm
yeah,
present. Okay, real 20 seconds.
no, you
I
got
feel
it.
compelled to encourage people to just to stay with it. It is so overwhelming, and we just want to give up sometimes, or just go the other direction. But stay with it. The Apostle Paul says, and he laid out all these wonderful things in his letters, but he said, oh, by the way, I haven't made it yet, but I'm in hot pursuit.
Amen.
And that's the deal. You know, none of us have made it yet, but thank God through his grace, we're able to pursue hotly, should that be our desire. So, Terry, thank you for being with us. Thank you for
Thank
sharing.
you. Thank
Good,
you. I
good.
enjoyed it so
Sure.
much.
Appreciate it. We'll be back.
Thank you
We'll
so
be
much.
back with you. We just claim you're part of the family. So,
I am right here.
you betcha. We'll be back.
Thanks. You're all just great. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's great having you with us. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us tonight. On behalf of everybody here, we love God. We love and appreciate all of you. And may this be a great night for you. And may the rest of your week be even better than your Monday. You got four more days. So watch God go to work in that time. So strap in and hang on. Woohoo! You wait till you see what he can do. All right. We love you all. Thanks so much. Thanks, Terry. God bless you.
Take care.
Blessings.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.